We do have Justin Bourne, however. We welcome him in on the heels of that, and I hope your day is going, and I don't say this lightly, much better than Artemi Panarin's. What a wild story out in New York today, Justin.
Yeah, it's like kind of every story that you hear out of Russia where, like, there's not even, like, a piece of it to grab onto of truth. Like, you don't know what's what. I don't know. The whole thing could be 100% true or 0%, and I would be like, yeah, okay, Russian stories. I have no idea what to believe from anyone.
Man, and I can't even begin to imagine what that mental strife must be like for him, seeing a story like that put out, coming from his side, his perspective, where his allegation is that none of it ever occurred. There's complete fabrication here, but that would wreck you mentally, wouldn't it?
You would think so. You know, it's one of the, these days, it's so hard to weigh in on stuff like this without more information. Like, I just, you know, don't feel comfortable even trying to guess at what's going on here. He's, you know, I hope it is just a massive lie and this is a weird Russian political thing and all is well. But either way, I'm sure he's not in good headspace today. I can't blame him for stepping away.
Yeah, I completely agree with you because you weigh in against it. Well, what if there is some truth to it? You're in favor
sure.
of any type of violence against, I mean, you're right. There's no good way to go with it. It's just horrible all around. Justin Bourne joining us. He of Hockey Central, Sportsnet.ca as well. Sportsnet's hockey analyst with us here today. We're talking about the state of the Canadian division right now, one that's being run away with by the Leafs at present. More specifically out west, Calgary and Vancouver, they're kind of in the funk, but for different reasons. Calgary's just not playing well. Vancouver is, but not getting the results. What's worse, when you're getting the odd result because of your goaltending and not playing well like the Flames, or when you actually are doing a lot of things right, but you're still not seeing the wins?
You know, I'm much more of a believer in process over results in the long term. And, you know, it's a tough sell to a fan base for sure. But, you know, I was on a good show with J.D. Bunkus and Ben Ennis today making a case for telling a story about the Leafs. When I was with the Marlies, Sheldon Keefe had our team first place in the division and held a meeting to explain to the team that they weren't as good as they thought they were and how all the results were kind of a mirage. We've been getting lucky and showing all these different numbers. And it's a reminder that eventually, by the way, eventually it did catch up to us, but eventually you have to play well or it won't go well. And you have, and eventually if you do play well, it will go well. So I think I'd rather be the team with the good process, not the good results.
Okay, so that's Vancouver, and the process has been strong for 7 straight games. 2-3-2 is the record during that stretch. They're running out of time. They've played more games than any other team. The math is working against Vancouver. As you've watched these games, do you see a team capable of stringing a number of wins together?
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm going to sense a hesitancy in my voice there.
Yeah, that wasn't confident, Justin. That was zero confidence in that answer.
Well, there's enough there, though, that it's like you can see them winning every night. Like, I don't take to my gambling site of choice at being cool, bad. I don't take to that and say I'm looking to bet against the Canucks tonight because I don't trust betting against the Canucks. There's too many good players there to think that that's not a team that can win every night and therefore, you know, can't string together a good run of games and some wins. It's you know, it's just the inconsistency that's there. A lot of good and a lot of bad on the same team. You kind of never know what you're going to get any given night.
So when you watch Vancouver and the way that it hasn't been able to either hold on to leads or not be able to get that extra goal when needed, is it any one thing or is it a different issue cropping up each and every night?
Well, that's, you know, the worst case scenario is I think the answer is what you're talking about, the different thing all the time. You know, it isn't one consistent thing. And part of that comes back to something like confidence, where when you're feeling good about yourself, you find different ways to find these wins and you just believe that your team will. When things go like it's gone for the Canucks, I'm a big believer in the snowball effect. I know I talk about it all the time, but like when things start negatively, you kind of just start those negative vibes and thinking things are going to go wrong. And that's the Canucks to me. They're finding new and creative ways to not get more points out of hockey games. And that feeds on itself and kind of becomes a self-perpetuating issue. So Canucks confidence is probably the top of my list.
What about the Calgary Flames? What is the biggest reason for the ditch they currently find themselves in?
It's tough to speculate on teams' dressing rooms. You know, you hear some stuff about their chemistry or, you know, what is and isn't working. We had Ryan Leslie on today, Calgary Flames, the Sportsnet analyst there, hosting analyst, and he was explaining that with his team, it's it has been a team that's relied too heavily on Jacob Markstrom and has struggled to score goals. And it's not for a lack of players who can score goals. You know, Backlund has been suggested as someone that, you know, could do a little more and provide a little bit more offense, because they do defend well. And outside of their recent shellacking at the hands of the Oilers, they do defend well. So you can stop the puck and you can keep the puck out of your net. Just a matter of finding goals. And though they have the players, now I got to believe that those guys are going to come around and they're a team that's going to win some games coming up too.
Justin Bourne of Hockey Central and Sportsnet.ca joining us here this morning. The difficult thing for Brad Treliving, or Jim Benning for that matter, is you're handcuffed to a certain degree about what you can do this year. I'm not saying Calgary does have an issue in the room, as you said. It's really tough to speculate that. If you're a GM and you think that's a problem, is there any way to really fix that this year?
Not really, is there? I mean, you can't trade with anyone outside of Canada at this point because you're losing. You know, they got to sit out for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden there's only, I don't know what's left, 10 weeks of the season or something. So that's a big one. And then, you know, trying to fix chemistry with a trade is almost impossible. Like, you need multiple bodies to come and go to have an effect. You need big personalities to come and go. You know, someone like Joe Thornton, the Leafs room, saying he's having such a positive effect on Matthews and crew. But it's also Wayne Simmonds and also Spezza the year before, and also Zach Bogosian. And it takes a lot of people to change the makeup of your room. So you're not going to get one guy out and have your team be an entirely different group of guys. So it's not an easy fix.
We all know that despite what Auston Matthews is doing right now and all the points the Leafs are racking, it's all about the playoffs for this team this year and finally doing something in the postseason. Is the biggest concern for Toronto, as hypothetical as this is right now, that it runs away with the division and it doesn't play enough meaningful games leading into the most meaningful games?
Yeah, wouldn't Toronto love to have that problem? You know, like, it could be a real problem. You're not wrong at all. But it's a good problem to have. And I think you take it, right? You take your chances of being hopefully more rested. You know, you can rest more bodies down the stretch when you're in that position. You can rest your goalie when you're in that position. You hope that you're at least headed into playoffs at peak capacity. And then, you know, as the damages are incurred in the postseason, you can live with it a little bit more because you're starting from fresh. So it could be a big problem, but if you're facing it in the conference final and you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think you're already going to call that a win. So it depends on your perspective, I guess.
Auston Matthews is on pace to get 50 goals right now. Connor McDavid's on pace to have over 100 points right now. If you had to cast a Hart Trophy ballot today, who would be number one?
Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid for me. You know, there's a couple of different ways to describe what he does, but the biggest thing, I just feel like it's if you ever broke open an Etch-A-Sketch and there's all those little magnetic flakes in there or any sort of thing like that, and you run a magnet around, like, that's McDavid. Everything near him, he changes. Every defender is drawn to him. Everything about the game is attracted to him, and you game plan around him. So I just think he has a bigger impact on the game than anyone on earth. He's just the most dynamic, most exciting, biggest game changer there is. Auston Matthews is special, and his two-way game is, kind of more in the media lately, and it's been very good as well as his goal scoring. But Connor McDavid, to me, is still the guy that stirs the drink for the NHL. He's the best in the world, having one of his best seasons of his career.
Maybe this will come with some form of bias because of where you're conducting this interview, but Chris Versteeg, I mentioned this earlier in the hour, he's been banging the drum all year that because of a year with no fans, the NHL's really missing it by not starting Oilers games earlier and putting those games on a bigger platform across this country for people in Ontario and a more widespread audience to see them. Obviously, in the West, that gets countered with, hold on, we're supposed to change everything just for the Eastern viewers. Where do you come out on that as far as the NHL's view on that and marketability?
You know, another thing that comes up on the good show there with J.D. Bunkus is, you know, he tends to believe that the NHL shouldn't take its fans for granted. In the past, he's been talking about its Canadian fans, that they should do more to cater to the Canadian fan rather than take them for granted and try to worry about what's happening in a lot of smaller markets. To pay attention to what's happening to the people who care most, and the people who care most are the people locally who care. The Edmonton Oilers and the people in Edmonton shouldn't have to have their hockey games start at 6 o'clock, so there should be, you know, it could be more viewers or more listeners or whatever it may be around the country you gotta think local. The NHL is moving more towards a Major League Baseball style fandom where you're worried about your own tribe more than anything else. And so no, I'm not in favor of that. I like the open-minded and big thinking from Versteeg, but I don't think people in Edmonton should have to do that.
The Westerner in Justin Bourne comes out when he's put to the test. He may live in Toronto, but he's a Western boy at heart. What did you think of what we saw from Lake Tahoe this weekend? Obviously, there were critics because of the ice conditions and the change in game time. I found it to be a complete success despite having to change things on the fly. What was your view?
How do you criticize that game? I've heard this from several people that, you know, people are critical of the NHL. What's wrong with you people being critical of that? They did something totally unique, went to an awesome spot, put on a great hockey game. And yeah, you know, they had some bad luck with the weather. It, you know, the chances of that happening were maybe 10%. And if it went bad, you know what was going to happen? They did what they did. They moved it to the night. They finished the game then and no one died. You know, I loved everything about it. I wish they could do it more. Only reason I say wish and not hope they do is because they're not making enough money doing that. They're going to put butts in the seats whenever they can. So I don't think we're going to see a game like that for a long time.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I have a different view on it. I think they will. I think they can get sponsorship attached to it that would make up for the lost revenue from seats. And obviously, look, if they were doing this in different times, they would find a way on whatever golf course they chose, whether it's Whistler, if they go somewhere else in Canada, for example, they'd find ways to have limited seating. Mm-hmm. I think there's enough there. I think there's going to be enough demand for this. I guess I don't know the dollars involved from a sponsorship standpoint, but I feel like I can make a financial argument for that.
Yeah, and, you know, I have a theory, too, is, like, can you create sort of a package of these games where you take it separately from the rights you're selling to everyone else? And you say to Rogers and you say to everyone else, okay, we're going to sell you all these games but five. These other five games, you know, we're going to do something else with. And then you go to DAZN or you go to the Amazon Prime or whoever and say, hey, we'll sell you this five-game package in an unbelievable setting, and we guarantee a million people at least are going to watch every game in Canada. And, you know, there's something there about selling it in a certain way that the league can still make money. If they figure that out, then they'll do it again.
Well, and let's not kid ourselves. There are cities out there. There are tourist destinations, given how the tourism business has been crushed in the past year, that would probably pay some money to have an event
True.
Like that come to town.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. You don't think Quebec City wants to pay to have a game come up there for a year, you know, in the winter every year? I think you would easily have cities that would be willing to do it. The tough part is the normal way to justify it for a city paying that money is people are going to flock here and we're going to make the money back. I'm not sure it's an easy sell when no one's going to come to the game.
Justin, great stuff as always, man. Keep up the great work. I know this has been a busy day for you doing Hockey Central, getting prep for the Leafs game as well, and doing a million radio hits, but we appreciate you making some time for us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you again soon.